Last night at Friday Night Live, I not only spoke about what I am going to speak about this morning, but I also, for the first time, spoke from a stool in the middle of the stage, middle of the bima, and it seemed to me it had kind of a nice informal touch, and I'd give it a shot on Shabbat morning as well. If it works, the next time we'll set up with a row of drinks, you know. But what I want to speak about, because we have the same mitzvah project and mitzvah theme this morning as we did last night, is this same idea, that there are two ways to combat evil in this world. One of them we associate now with a name that I want to repeat to you. You may have heard it. If you haven't heard it, you should. It's an important name to be mentioned in synagogues on this Shabbat morning. The name is Stephen Tyrone Johns. Stephen Tyrone Johns is the guard who was killed at the Holocaust Museum in Washington this week. And we should remember him, because after all, we understand what it was that took his life. And he represents one way of combating evil in this world, which is the willingness to fight against those who would do evil. And we understand also that evil is not something that resides in specific individuals or in specific societies, but it's a line that is drawn in each human heart. And that every capacity for evil that exists in anyone exists in me and exists in you. And that the battle against evil has to be fought every day, in every person, at all times. The Yetzer HaTov and the Yetzer HaRa, that which is good and fruitful and wonderful and blessed and brilliant inside of us, is always intertwined with that which is dark and despairing and angry and anguished. And so part of the message of the Jewish tradition's battle with evil in this world is that it's a battle. But there is another way, a complementary way, and that is by doing good. The performance of a mitzvah, of a kindness, of goodness, of consideration, of compassion, of help, that's another way to shrink evil in this world, to dispel it, to chase it away. On this Shabbat, as many of you know, for me, this comes home because it is almost now 30 days, almost the end of Shloshim, although the holiday of Shavuot actually ended Shloshim officially, but it's almost the end of 30 days since my father passed away. And what happens when someone dies, especially somebody who was a large figure in the Jewish world, as he was, as a rabbi, is you get testimonies from people whose lives he had touched. Some of them you knew. Some of them you had no idea. And every time in this synagogue that I've had the honor, the painful honor, but the honor of doing a funeral for somebody who has passed away, inevitably what happens is then testimonies come in from people whose lives were touched by that individual. And you realize when you read the letters or you receive the calls that the ripples of a mitzvah go on forever. That when the tradition says that we are supposed to imitate God, it's not only that God is goodness and we should do goodness, but that the quality of a mitzvah emulates the one thing we know for certain about God, which is that God is infinite, that a mitzvah never ends, that if it changes one life, however slightly, that like the proverbial rock thrown in the pool, the ripples go on forever. And one life changed leads to another and another and another and another. Nivra adam yichidi lelamedcha shekol hamikayem nefesh echad ki'ilu kiyem olam male, the rabbis teach us. God created a single human being to teach you that if you change the life, if you save, if you rescue, if you help a single person, then you have in fact helped the whole world, because all of the world emerged from one. So each mitzvah changes the world. When, after the services today, we ask you, as we will, to do a mitzvah, to make sandwiches, we have bread and peanut butter and jelly, literally, for you to go out and make sandwiches. You don't know who will eat that sandwich and be grateful for it. You don't know how their day will change, and maybe how their child's day will change as a consequence, and on and on and on until the end of time. And so let me tell you a story that many of you know, but it seems to me this is a good time to tell it again. It's a story of my father and why he became a rabbi in the first place, and someone who never knew how much he was changing his life. My father's father died when he was 11. And my father had been away at camp as an 11-year-old, and he came back and his father was gone, and it was the shattering blow of his life. And even though he did not come from a particularly religious family, it was assumed in his family that he would go and he would say Kaddish, that he would go to the synagogue and each day he would recite the morning prayer for his father. So growing up in Boston, or right outside of Boston, each morning he would get up and he would walk by himself to the synagogue. And now I'm going to read from a story that I told in my last book, which fortunately, I'm grateful to say, my father lived long enough to read, in which I quote not only his story, but his words. And I'll tell you when he begins to speak, so that you can hear him. At the end of the first week, he, that is my father, noticed that the ritual director of the synagogue, Mr. Einstein, walked past his home just as he left to walk to synagogue. Mr. Einstein, already advanced in years, explained, "Your home is on the way to the synagogue. I thought it might be fun to have some company. That way I don't have to walk alone." For a year, my father and Mr. Einstein walked through the New England seasons, the humidity of summer and the snow of winter. They talked about life and loss, and for a while, my father was not so alone. After my parents married and my oldest brother was born, my father called Mr. Einstein, now well into his 90s, and asked if he would like to meet my father's new wife and child. Mr. Einstein agreed, but said in view of his age, my father would have to come to him. My father writes, now these are his words, "The journey was long and complicated. His home by car was fully 20 minutes away. I drove in tears as I realized what he had done. He'd walked for an hour to my home so that I wouldn't have to be alone each morning. By the simplest of gestures, the act of caring, he took a frightened child and led him with confidence and with faith back into life." Each letter that I received about how my father had helped someone as a rabbi was because of Mr. Einstein. If today you make a sandwich when you weren't planning to before you came, it's because of Mr. Einstein. If you do a mitzvah, the day will come when someone, knowing your name or not knowing your name, someone who may never realize that you did it, will change someone else's world. The circles are infinite and they are endless. Acts of goodness don't end with you. And that's part of the reason why on this Shabbat, we ask each of you to commit to some mitzvah, to something that you will do that will move on in ripples through the world, so that one day a child, a grandchild, will have their lives changed because of what you did today, because of an extra step that you took to go out of your way to help someone who is in trouble, who is alone, who is grieving, who is angry, who is lost. That's what it means to do a mitzvah. Too often, we use the word casually, as though it's a simple and easy thing, but it's not. It's an act of homage to God, and it's an act of love. And love never ends. Shabbat Shalom.